Deutsche Welle Radio. Insight.
Hello and welcome to Insight. I'm Guy Deegan in Bonn. In October, Turkey and the European Union agreed on a negotiating framework to start formal membership talks. It's a historic step that could transform the 25-member bloc by taking in a predominantly Muslim nation and expanding the EU's borders to the Middle East. With a population of more than 70 million, Turkey would also become one of the largest EU member states. The frenzy of last-minute negotiations to offer Turkey formal accession talks again opened up the debate over Europe's readiness to accept Turkey in the EU. It also aroused Turkish suspicion over whether the European Union is serious and genuine about Turkey becoming a full member. With nationalism on the rise in Turkey, the government's push to meet the EU's long list of reforms may encounter further resistance, both politically and culturally. From Istanbul, David Patrician reports on the Turkish perspective of joining the European Union.
Istanbul is a lively, cosmopolitan city straddling Europe and Asia. Shoppers are bustling between big brand stores such as Chanel, Polo, and Nike. Children are heading off to school, cafes are full, and cars are crawling their way through peak hour traffic. Turkish, English, French, and even some German can be overheard on the streets. However, when talking to the locals, it doesn't take long for the issue of EU membership to enter the conversation. The country is deeply divided over this issue. Many Turks are frustrated by Europe's deep reluctance to welcome their country into the Union. Some, like this woman, even go so far as to say that the rejection of the EU constitution by voters in France and the Netherlands in the summer was also a no to Turkey joining the EU.
They, in fact, do not want us because culture, our religion, living style, it's all about us. This shows prejudice to our country and to our culture. But I believe that Turkey does not need the European Union to be a powerful or a strong country.
Recent polls carried out by the European Commission would also seem to question Europe's enthusiasm for Turkey joining the EU. According to one poll, 52% of Europeans are opposed to Turkish membership, and only 35% are in favor. In some of the older EU member states, there's up to 80% opposition against Turkey joining. In the run-up to Brussels giving the green light to accession talks with Ankara, some Turks, like this man, were left wondering if EU membership was a good thing, or for that matter, if the invitation was even genuine.
The Europeans are playing with us. I mean, it's so obvious. They are mocking with us, right? Because the first and the most important reason is religion. Turkey is an Islamic country and European community is a Christian club. And there's no need for the Turkish governors to go and ask times and times again to be a member of the European community.
On the other hand, Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan says his country's future lies with the EU. He argues that Turkey could be an economic and political asset to the 25-member bloc. Other supporters of EU membership stress that the process of joining will improve Turkish human rights, give equality to the Kurds, and ease tensions over Cyprus. At a recent international roundtable for visiting international journalists, Turkey's acting Secretary General for European Affairs, Ahmet Acet, said this process surrounding EU membership has created a silent revolution within Turkey.
When you look at the magnitude, the dimension of the reforms in terms of freedoms, in terms of the fight against torture and ill-treatment, in terms of strengthening the independence of the judiciary and the police, it is indeed revolutionary.
It's a revolution that has taken a generation for both Turkey and Europe. Turkey took its first step towards the European family 42 years ago in September 1963. An association agreement with the then European Economic Community provided a lowering of customs barriers as a preliminary to joining the EEC, the forerunner of today's European Union. In the late 1980s, the Turkish application to join the EU was rejected by the Commission on the basis of its poor economy and human rights record. Ambassador Acet says that this was a wake-up call for Turkey's political establishment.
Instead of living like an ostrich with our heads hooked in the sand, we realized all of a sudden that having signed the European Convention on Human Rights in 1952, we hadn't really complied with it, looking at our constitution, looking at our various laws, including our penal code, including our civil code, etc. Turkey was more a quasi-democracy rather than the kind of democracy that had to meet the European standards.
A customs union with the EU in 1995 was cause for national celebration. Then, in 1999, the EU stated that Turkey would be a candidate for full membership on the same basis as other candidates, so long it fulfilled the Copenhagen criteria, for example, reform on the justice system and improving human rights. It was thought Turkey would need 15 to 20 years to fulfill these requirements, but surprisingly, major reforms, such as greater freedom of speech, were approved within several years. By the end of 2004, the Commission had set a target date to commence membership negotiations with Turkey for October 2005. In October, a last-minute deal, brokered by UK Foreign Secretary Jack Straw, gave the green light for Turkey's accession bid to formally begin. Austria had been the lone voice of dissent and proposed preferred partner status to Turkey rather than full membership. But Austria backed down after its neighbor Croatia was also offered membership talks. Mr. Straw called it a truly historic day for Europe and the whole of the international community.
This is a negotiation in which we are all winners. Europe, the existing member states, Turkey, and the international community.
At the same time, though, he warned it would be a long road ahead, with negotiations expected to take a decade. But this drawn-out go-ahead for Ankara, though, left many Turks feeling disgruntled. And at the same time, a steady rise in Turkish nationalism has undermined Ankara's EU ambitions. Just a day before the final agreement to begin negotiations, over 70,000 supporters of the Turkish National Party, or MHP, took to the streets of Ankara and Istanbul to protest against EU membership. Yasmin Kasap is a journalist with Deutsche Welle's Turkish department.
The nationalism in Turkey, it's rising because the people are very frustrated. The economy is going down, the people are in bad mood, and always, as it is in such situations, the nationalism is rising. It would be the same in any country, it would be the same, and now it's in Turkey.
Two other major issues pose problems for Turkey joining the EU. The first is the divided status of Cyprus. Turkey invaded the island of Cyprus in 1974. Turkish troops still occupy the northern part of the Mediterranean island, and only the southern Greek Cypriot government is internationally recognized. When the two sides voted on a United Nations peace plan earlier this year, it was Turkish Cypriots, with the encouragement of Mr. Erdogan's government in Ankara, who said yes. Tasos Papadopoulos rejected the plan overwhelmingly. Security fears may have been one reason for this rejection. One provision, for instance, would have allowed Turkey to keep troops in northern Cyprus. Yasmin Kasap again.
The Greeks voted for no in Cyprus. So I think that's frustrating for Turkish people too, because they voted yes, and so it's frustrating for them.
The other issue is that of demands for Kurdish independence. Around 13 million people, that's some 20% of Turkey's population, are Kurdish. The Kurdish diaspora covers parts of Turkey, Iraq, Iran, and Syria. Southeast Turkey has been devastated by a bloody 15-year war between Kurdish separatists and the Turkish armed forces. In 1999, the separatists called a unilateral ceasefire. In a landmark speech during a visit to the region last August, Prime Minister Erdogan acknowledged a wider Kurdish problem and conceded that mistakes had been made in the past. It was the first time a Turkish prime minister had spoken about problems concerning the Kurds. Ankara has long been criticized by human rights groups for its treatment of Kurdish separatists. But Ahmet Acet, acting secretary for European Affairs, says Turkey has made significant progress in this field.
Today the Kurds, unlike 5 years ago or 10 years ago, have all the rights that are necessarily provided to peoples with different cultures in other parts of Europe, in other parts of the international community. They have the right to teach their children whatever they want to do in their own language. They have the right to broadcast in their own language.
That right to broadcast in Kurdish was a result of pressure from the European Union. And in another important decision, Turkey abolished capital punishment in line with EU requirements. Political and judicial reforms by Ankara may have appeased Brussels, But many Turks are worried they're losing their identity. This young girl celebrating Ramadan is not convinced that Muslim Turkey has a place in Christian Europe.
I don't think it won't be that good because we have our old culture. We're just losing it right now, and if we join it, then there won't be anything left.
While over 90% of Turks are Muslim, it is often pointed out that Turkey is a secular republic, not an Islamic society. It's a distinction that's led to controversy on issues such as dress. For example, Muslim women argue that wearing a headscarf is a human right and a religious duty. Secularists, on the other hand, see the headscarf as a provocative political symbol and have managed to get it banned from universities, state schools, and government ministries. Negotiation towards the country's eventual membership of the EU may well exacerbate the divide between secularist and conservative elements within the country. But Femi Yaru, a prominent journalist, says Turkey can only gain from the membership process.
There is a consensus, in Turkey that whether we become a member at the end of the day or not, we should keep on human rights, on democracy, on economic development, because the population, the young population, wants to be a part of the modern world, a part of Europe. They want to keep their identity, culture, but they want to be a part of the modern world.
France's president Jacques Chirac says Turkey will have to undergo a cultural revolution in order to eventually join the EU. Kansav, a Turkish tour guide in Istanbul, agrees, but says education, particularly in rural areas, is key.
In my opinion, if you don't go to school, you cannot learn about the politics, nor learn about the new world, and you cannot communicate with the other people from different countries. The most important thing is Turkish people must go to school and read more.
Kansav goes on to say that Europe has a unique chance to form a strong relationship with a secular Muslim country. If Turkey can hold on to its religious and cultural traditions, while at the same time become a stable democracy with economic and cultural relations with the West, he feels it could be a benchmark for other Islamic societies to follow. Turkey must now fulfill the normal conditions of EU entry. That includes adopting over 80,000 pages of EU law. All 25 members of the bloc will have to be satisfied that Ankara has met every condition. Turkey will also have to take care of its national debt. In 2004, the country's GDP grew by a healthy 8%. Inflation was down to single digits, just over 9%, for the first time in 30 years. Even so, the country's massive debt, which includes $23 billion owed to the IMF and billions borrowed via the international bond markets, has to be brought under control. Turkey's membership of the EU could send a powerful message to the Arab and Muslim worlds. British Foreign Secretary Jack Straw said that by welcoming Turkey, Brussels would be demonstrating that Western and Islamic cultures can thrive together as partners in the modern world. Turkey is already an important European trading partner, and it enjoys a strategic location at the crossroads of Europe, Asia, and the Middle East. As Turkey's foreign minister, Abdullah Gül, has pointed out, Turkey's admission into the EU could benefit not only the bloc, but also world peace. And such a development would be a gift to the Muslim world.
From Istanbul, David Patrician reporting. And that wraps up the program for this week. I'm Guy Deegan, and on behalf of the Insight team here at Deutsche Welle in Bonn, thanks for listening and goodbye for now.